been searching for someone to fill the void in your heart? Have you been searching for someone to take all your pain away? Come see a man who died so you can have eternal life. Come meet a man that loves you more than you'll ever know. Let me introduce you to a man, a king, a savior, a provider. My friend, I introduce to you.
Friday morning, and greetings from me and mine. I am Pastor Jay Grosner, and today we are thankful that we're able to say that although Good Friday may not have been so good at the beginning and certainly wasn't at the very end, but we know today is another day, because in 2 days' time we will be singing a whole different story and a whole different song, and we will be rejoicing like never before. It says a weeping may endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And well, I'm just telling you, today may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. Amen. Praise God. And if you know this story, like I know this story, you will understand that as much as it touches our heart and it may sadden us and may hurt us and we may feel badly, and to be honest, we need to feel a little bit of shame, because when we think of what we go through and what he went through, and more importantly, when we think about what he went through so we wouldn't have to go through, we need to surely give praise, and we need to do right by him. Amen. Let his dying not be in vain. Well, we are here, and yes, the sun is shining, but we know that on this particular day, almost 2,021 years ago, we know that the sun stopped shining and darkness came upon the earth. But we will learn more throughout the day as we prepare to hear a word from the Lord. And I can only hope and pray that I will do him justice. Amen. We're going to get ourselves together so we can start ourselves off with prayer, because in all things we should start with prayer and supplication. I want to say a good morning again to my family, to my husband, and to my mother who is in studio again. Good morning. Good Friday morning, my mother dear, and I certainly hope all is well with you. And I know that she, too, is very glad on a good Friday, because she knows that Sunday cometh. Amen. Praise God. Let us get ourselves prepared for the Holy Spirit, and then we will open up in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we beseech you this day. Father, we We humbly bow before your throne of grace and mercy. And Father God, we don't proclaim to know how you feel or how it felt, but Father, we know to be able to just sacrifice not a lamb, but your son. To allow him to suffer and be persecuted and to allow him to be abused and well disfigured and just the atrocities that became, that you would put your very own through this for a wretch like me. Father, where do we begin to thank you? Where do we begin to even put words to how we should be feeling this day? As many years as it was, we know that there's a Holy Spirit here with us. And so we have not been left alone, because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And for that, we are truly thank you. We ask that you be ever present this day, Father, as you continue to strengthen and encourage each and every one of us with the individual battles that we may be going through. We continue to pray for the sick and those who are mourning and grieving. And, well, Father, you know the situations of each and every single one of us. We are your children, Father. And you said you knew every hair on our head. So, Father, as you know us and knew us long before we were, we ask that you contend to fixing all that needs, to aligning all that may need to be, for preparing all that has to come, and for developing all where we need to stand. But Father, knowing great all and everything, and being everywhere and everything, we look to you this day, if nothing much, but to feed us your word and allow us to be mindful of the lessons therein. Be with us now, Father. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Mary, did you know? What would you do if you knew? Do you think you would have just packed up and left town and probably never ever showed up anywhere near that you thought that your child would be in danger? Sometimes when you're in the will of God, to do the will of God, you have to do everything you can against your own will. Amen. Let us get prepped up and danced up and praised up as we prepare to read scripture. And just so you have a heads up, we're going to be reading from two Old Testament scriptures, so you can prepare and get those ready. Psalm 107 and Psalm 18. And today's scripture lesson is also taken from the book of Matthew 26. So we're going to be joined by some wonderful music. How Great Is Our God by Sherwin Gardner. We have John Yardy and Friends as the Deer, and A Holy Night by our friend Tamika Williams. And then we'll be back to read the Word of God for the people of God.
Father, you're worthy. Oh, Lord, yeah. Ooh, yeah. How great is our God. How great.
We're
with you.
Glory to God in the high.
Amen. What a day, what a night. Born to come so that I might live because he died. My, my, my. All right, let us take a look at our scripture. We're first going to read from the book of Psalm 107. I encourage you, when you get an opportunity, to read the entire books of 107. But right now, I will be reading from verses 23 to 32, unless the Lord tells me otherwise. Amen. So let us begin. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet? So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. My, my, my. And then in Psalm 18, I'm only going to read verses 1 to 3, and I'll begin. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And our new Testament scripture is coming from the book of Matthew. Again, I encourage you to read it all, and you certainly need to, because it tells the story of the day at hand. Amen. But I'll be reading close to the end, and I'll be reading from verses 36 to 56. And I begin. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit here he, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons Zebedee, and began to do, or to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again, and the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords, staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, Whomever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again any sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled? And that thus it might be. In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. My, my, my. The word of God for the people of God. May he add a blessing to the hearing, the doing, and certainly for the reading of it. In Jesus' name, let us prepare to hear from the Lord. Yes, Lord, my life is yours. Use me now. Fill me, mold me, make me. And allow your words to come through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we have the beginning of what I'm calling a two-part series, When It's Unexplainable. Part one is today and Sunday is part two. Because we know that when one goes down, one rises up. And so today, while we are going down, we need to remember to talk to God when it's unexplainable. Now, we've read here from several parts of the Word of God, and the key parts that I need to explain is key to the time at hand, because we're going to discuss not only about talking to God through prayer, but we also need to figure out when to talk to God, and most importantly, how to talk to God. And as a bonus, just for you today, for $9.99, is a special offer of being able to talk to God in many ways. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we want to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, this happened before when Jesus was with his disciples at what they're infamously now known as the Last Supper. I was reading an article recently about, yes, I know, it was about some of the last requests of people on death row. My word. Yes. It sounds like an odd thing to read, but you have to remember, where he leads me, I will follow. And so I was doing some research on some other parts and somehow came across this article. And we know that with God, nothing happens by happenstance or coincidence, but everything happens for a reason. And so you started to read. I haven't finished it. I've saved it because I want to continue reading because I'm intrigued at what is it somebody would think about when they know their life is ending. My. So you have to think that Jesus knows that the end is near. He knows who is going to betray him. And, you know, poor Judas, you know, look, I've always been the one who goes after the downtrodden, and I've always been the one who kind of has to stand in the gap for the least of these. Amen. And Judas takes a hard rap because everybody knows that Judas is the one who just basically sold out Jesus, literally, and then has regrets after. But for a while he was leading up to it, because when he was keeping the change for the Lord and the money, we talked about this on Palm Sunday, we already know that he was upset about how money was being spent and wasted, according to him. But we knew that the Lord was preparing himself, and Mary was preparing him. She may not have known that she was preparing him to die, but she knew that he was worthy of the most expensive anointed oils. Amen. And then we have to go back, Jesus knowing that not only did he know Judas was going to betray him, but you know what? Come on now. We know of 12 disciples. I am telling you now, there were more than 12. It's just these are the key 12, or his closest acquaintances. And some are like brothers. And well, on the cross, he even made one his official brother. And he gave Mary a replacement son because he was not going to be around anymore. Amen. But I think what's important here is betrayal comes in many forms and in many ways. And, you know, we know of Judas. But what about the ones who denied him? These are his closest friends, his closest confidants, the people he trusted with his life and with his ministry. And sometimes you got to understand, my ministry is important to me, but so is my life. But for Jesus, his life is his ministry because it had to be cut down to rise up. Amen. And so it's very important that we understand this day that we know people denied him 3 times. He even foretold this. Now, keep in mind, he's brought them to the garden because he needs to speak to God. Now, remember the theme is when it's unexplainable, talk to God. Jesus knew this was somewhat explainable because it was prophecy. And we heard about this in Matthew 26 when he goes to the garden and he tells them, like, no, don't do this and don't do that because this is prophecy. And so everything has to go according to plan. One wrong mistake could mess everything up. So everything has to go according to plan. Me personally, I like that because I'm like Jesus. I like things so very structured. I have backup plans and I have a backup to my backup plan. And then there's even the ultimate backup plan. Yes, I said all of that because that's why my greatest struggle with the Lord is not being in control. So he tells them, come with me. I'm going to go and talk to my father. Even Jesus knows that when he's in trouble, he needs to talk to God. So he does. So remember, he is now, we talked about temptation and the flesh being weak, and we read this today. He is now flesh. As much as he's performing miracles, clearly we know that he is anointed by God. But the fact that he is still flesh means that he will still have weakness. Do you remember when he was at the wedding? Before he started doing these miracles, he said to his mother, when she told him to turn the water into wine, he said, no, it's not time yet. But he might be God's son and he might be God in flesh and God in person and, well, the Savior himself. But he knew enough not to talk back to his mama. Because he told her, it's not time. And she said in her own way, but this is how I would have said it. Boy, just do as I told you to. Thank you and don't backtalk me. Amen. And so he did what he was told. Yet God also talks to everybody else. Because when you talk to God, God talks to you. God even talks to you, and we sometimes don't talk to him. So now Jesus, knowing when he is in trouble, and he's flesh and he's weak and he's scared. Because nobody faces death when they know it's coming and not have some kind of fear. No matter where they think they're going, no matter how they've lived their life, everyone has a concern about not being here anymore. Now, most of us, we would only hope to go to the Lord in our sleep. There's a song about it, too, that talks about wanting that the best way to go is in your sleep. But he didn't go in any ordinary fashion. He didn't die of some disease. He didn't have to deal with COVID-19 as we are dealing with now. He didn't have to deal with any kind of cancer or anything of that nature. He was literally going to be tortured to death. So it wasn't as though they were just going to get rid of him very quickly. It was going to be a long, painful, drawn-out death. So, of course, he's scared. So he goes and he brings his buddies with him because he's like, guys, look, I got to go and pray. Can you just come with me? And then closer to where he's praying, he brought even closer friends with him. Because these are like his armor bearers, as we like to say in the church. They're his right-hand people. And he says, okay, can you guys kind of just sit here and watch and wait and pray with me? And he did. He went and spoke to his father. And he said, you know, like, Lord, he basically told him, Daddy, I'm scared. Do I have to do this? If you can stop this from happening and not allow this to take place, I would greatly appreciate it. That is basically what the prayer is. But if you feel this is not what should happen, then I will accept it. And then he went back, and the people that he was probably hoping were praying for him while he was praying to his dad, because sometimes when you ask folks to pray for you because you're going through something, just because you go to God does not mean that you don't need prayer too. Because sometimes they say more prayer, more power. They may not know what they're praying for, but all they need to know is that he is going to pray, so he must need prayer. We do not always have to know what someone is going through or what someone is dealing with or what someone needs help with, because we know that God knows everything. So you can call on the name of the Lord and you can just give up the person's name or say, Father, help my friend. Help my husband. Help this church. Help these people. Father, help the world. Amen. And he will know because he knows what we need. Because remember, he doesn't always give us what we want, but he'll be certain to give us what we need. And so they were sleeping. Could you imagine? He is scared. He's gone to the Lord and he's like, look, Father, help me, please. I don't want to have to go through all of this. And then he came back and he went to see the guys and his buddies were sleeping. And he's like, seriously, why are you guys asleep when I needed you to just keep watch for me? And they felt bad. And I noticed that he went back again. Now, you got to wonder, if you've already gone to the Lord, and this is a man who's going to know that his prayers are heard, he doesn't have the kind of doubt that we have, that we keep praying and praying and praying because we're not sure if God is hearing us. You know, we keep checking the line to see if he's there. Hello, God, are you there? Is this thing working? There you go. That's how we function with God. But Jesus knows if anybody has a connection directly to the Lord God Almighty, it is him. And he knows it. But you'll notice after he went and he came back and his buddies were fast asleep, he went back again to speak with the Lord. Isn't that something? But more again as a resolve. Because he wanted to say, okay, God, clearly, if this is what you want me to do, then I will do it. And it's like he just said, okay, fine, I will deal with this. And then he went back again, and guess what? They were sleeping again. And he scolded them again, too. Amen. But he loves them. And so no matter what you're going through, and you know who is for you and with you, as much as they may not always be there how you want them to be, he still was with them because he knew that they would do anything for him. So he's talked to God. And here's where it gets rather interesting again, because now he knows it's time. And he knows Judas is coming with that kiss of death. That's all it could be called, because he basically picked him out in the crowd so that the Roman soldiers would know, this is the guy you're looking for. His name is Jesus. This is him. And he gives him a kiss, and Jesus waits. And he even confronts them, because now his boys have a chance to stand up for him. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on? Because they were caught off guard. They didn't understand everything that was happening. They did not realize that this was Jesus's last moment. This would be the last time they would be alone with him and have time with him. They did not realize that he was not only going to die, but he was going to die an atrocity of a death. And they would have to watch their Lord, their master, suffer in a way that they would never be able to comprehend, because to them, it is unexplainable. So when the soldiers came to get him and they came with their swords, this was their chance to not only defend their mass best way they knew how, and well, he pulled his sword out and he went and he swung it at one of the soldiers and he cut off his ear. And Jesus said, no, 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 we won't have any of that now. And he explained to him that if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. And he said, we don't deal with things like that. We are not violent people. And he did. We know that he did heal the soldier with the ear. That's a whole different sermon right there. But then he also made the soldiers feel worthless, because he guilted them so badly and said, hello, I've been all over the place hanging around with you guys. I was in the temple. I was here. I was there. Saw me in the market grabbing a couple fruit, you know. I was anywhere you could have come to me. I was unarmed. I'm always unarmed. Why didn't you arrest me then? But now you come here like you're expecting like the battle of Great Zion. And what's so beautiful about what Jesus tells Peter, he says, it's okay. You don't need to pull your sword and do this to defend me. He says, basically, he says, because he prayed to his father. He said, don't you think that God would send 12 legions of angels? My word. You know that saying we say the battle is the Lord's? That is why the battle is the Lord's, because no matter who you have defending you, who you have standing with you, who you have standing beside you or by you, behind you and around you, the greatest savior battle war can only be fought from up above. The battle is truly the Lord's. Can you imagine you could stand there with such confidence and go, hello? Don't you know that my father, if I really wanted, I could get him to send 12 legions of angels? My word. And that is the kind of power that you get when you're with the Lord, when you're in trouble to the Lord. We also heard in scripture today that in Psalm 107, we know that there was a battle. There was a sea and stormy weather and so much trouble, and we staggered and we just can't handle it. People cannot handle times of trouble. But the Lord said, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. My Lord. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him and also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. This, my friends, is why we praise him. This, my friends, is why we exalt him, because we know that during our times of trouble, all we have to do is cry unto the Lord. And in Psalm 18, we confirm it. The confession that I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Remember that? Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? And it said here, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call unto the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Amen. When you know who your daddy is, you know who your daddy is. Glory unto God. Can you imagine? I just love that line. It's sort of like, really, guy, you got out a sword. Look, you don't know who my daddy is. Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so we need to know that it's important that we can talk to God. And if Jesus himself is God in flesh and in person, even he talked to God. Today, 2021 years ago, hanging on a cross, I can tell you right now that as much as he might have spoken to the Father God in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the cross, Jesus continued to speak to God, and his seven last words ever spoken here on earth to Father God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus said to his mother, woman, this is your son. Then he said to the disciple, this is your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. And then finished, and his final last words to his father was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When you are in your time of trouble and your time of need and you need a standard and a buckler and a deliverer and a fortress and the rock of all ages, cleft to me, amen. You have to talk to God. Sometimes it's even so trying that all you do is walk and talk. And that's how it's been for the last little while for me, walking and talking to God nonstop. Because you don't trust him, not because you think he can't hear you, but just because you know he loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son so that you shall not die but shall live. for all eternity. And he has prepared a place for you, that you may be there also. Time of need and your time of trouble, there's no other person that you can really go to. And what's so wonderful about it is, in Romans 8:34, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also, I repeat, who also maketh intercession for us." When you're praying for yourself and talking to God, when you're praying for others and talking to God, there's a friend, and his name is Jesus. And he too spoke to God, even stood in the gap for us on the cross for forgiveness to God, committed his spirit to God, and now intercedes for us right next to God. So when it's unexplainable, please just talk to God.
If Jesus comes tomorrow to spend some time with you, would you answer all his questions, or lie to hide the truth? Would you welcome him with open arms, or even let him in? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? Could you leave today? Are you ready to lay down your worldly goods and walk away? Would it take a month of Sundays just to tell him all of your you have to beg forgiveness?
Amen. If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? Are you ready? Have you admit that you're a sinner? Do you believe that he is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, and well, on Sunday, rose again? Do you believe? Have you confessed him as your Lord and Savior? I proclaim him loudly every day. There's not a soul that I wouldn't say that I know the Lord, I love the Lord, and he is my Savior. He's my everything and my all. And I can do nothing without him. It would be my desire and wish that we could all know him. If nothing else, that if you're in a tough time or going through something or trying to find a way through, to know that God is the answer. He is the one who keeps you going, who encourages you, who lifts you, and when you're just too tired to keep going, who will also carry you. You have to know him for yourself. It has nothing to do with anyone else's salvation but your own. It is our wish and our desire that if Jesus does come tomorrow, that you will be ready. Amen. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And please feel free to email us, PastorJGrosner@gmail.com, or you can still send email to the old email address, PastorJRouse@gmail.com, or you can locate us on social media, Pastor J. Grosner and Pastor J. Rouse, or Rouse Ministries Broadcasting or Grosner Ministries. And we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We also look forward to continuing to be there, to stand in the gap, to pray for you, and to pray with you, whatever it may be. But just know that God is the answer to any question, even when it's unexplainable. We leave you this day on behalf of my family. We wish you all a good Friday and sustain you until we meet again on the Sunday, that good getting up morning when we can rise up again with the Lord and say that he lives. Amen. But for now, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.
May your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may your and may your bad days prove that God is good. And may your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your struggles keep you near the cross. And may your and may your back
Thank y'all so much for coming out.
May your bad days prove that God. Amen.